It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI Chewy can just bring up championship. We don't even need championship.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Always excited to talk to Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin, each and every Friday. A couple of texts I do want to get to here on the Carbo's Talking text line first as Craig gets settled. First, Justin in Middleton wanted to know if Craig was going to be joining today because he wants to hear your brewer takes.
Wow.
So he is here. And Alan saying, yes, I will read William Contreras' post. Hard for me to know what's real, what's not on the Facebook. Yeah, look, it is on the Players Tribune. Have you read William Contreras' piece on the Players Tribune?
No, but at the Rams 49ers game that I was at last night.
Wait, you were at that game?
They had a live trumpet player playing William Contreras' walk-up song.
Tommy Trumpets?
Yes, he was there. Tommy Trumpets was there with a Rams jersey. He was playing William Contreras' walk-up song.
Wow.
Which I think was just in honor of the Brewers.
Yeah, probably because, you know, we're all excited for Brewers baseball here.
Yeah, being at a Rams game, it's kind of like being at an NFL Europe game. And not like old school NFL Europe, like actual games in Europe.
Yeah.
Where there's like people with like every jersey on, and when the team scores, everyone's cheering, so you don't really know what's going on. Like, there's so many 49ers fans. The Rams have the best execution. It's like the coolest stadium and the coolest environment. So yeah, great game last night. Wild finish.
Yeah, it went into overtime. So again, thank you for flying from LA all the way to Milwaukee and still joining us this morning.
That's why I'm wearing women's sweatpants.
Are you? you are wearing Rams sweatpants.
I had a red eye, and I didn't have something comfortable to sleep in.
Sure.
So I was walking through all the SoFi Stadium. There were men's double XL sweatpants, which I didn't think would be great.
Uh-huh.
And the only other sweatpants, because I want something to sleep in on the plane, were women's.
Yeah.
And so I went with a women's large.
Okay.
It's interesting. I guess women have really small feet, because like, everything fit okay except like just trying to get it around my ankles. Maybe, I don't know if I have big feet or women. I don't know. I've never worn women's sweatpants before.
I have never worn women's sweatpants, so I don't know what the... If you would not have told me, I would have had no idea. I would never have known.
Yep.
Excitement level for Brewers Cubs.
Oh my God, so excited. I think... And the reason I brought up the game last night is because there's such parallels. Because when the 49ers play the Rams, there are so many 49ers fans in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it elevates things from the beginning in a positive way. I've said this a bunch of times about Bucks games when the Bulls were, you know, more followed than they are now. I think the environment is just going to be so unparalleled. And I know, you know, there's this concern of, you know, Wrigley, North. That's not going to happen these days, right? The Brewers have such good fans. The Brewers, you know, fans are as good, not better, right? I mean, when you look at the population of the state of Wisconsin compared to the Chicago metropolitan area. So the Cubs fans will bring an environment. They will bring an edge. And it's going to be an incredible series.
Well, and
you're looking at an unbelievable pitching staff that the Brewers have.
Oh, yeah.
With depth, even with injuries. I mean, no team could have gotten through the injuries the Brewers have this year and come out of it unscathed. 9 guys on the IL within the first month of the year. And then you're looking at the Cubs, who have 6 of the best offensive 20 players in the National League. So, like, it is just, I mean, it's going to come down, in my opinion, it's going to be how good is the Brewers pitching versus how good is the Cubs offense.
Yeah,
that's the matchup.
I am really curious to see what the makeup of everything's going to be, because this game's been sold out for a week already, and we didn't know that the Cubs were coming to town until yesterday.
Yeah, the price almost doubled after we found out that the Cubs, I mean, I think standing room seats went from $120 to $200 once it was going to be the Cubs playing. So it certainly demand increased. Certainly brokers who had some tickets were aware of it. But there are going to be a lot of Brewers fans who were not going to give up their tickets.
Now, you and your daughter have gone to, you guys went to 10 games this year,
yes.
Correct? Because you were showing me the chart
yes.
of
I've
wins
been to
and
more
losses.
Than 10, but she and I together have been to 10.
But what was the record was like 7-3,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Because you guys went to the game on Sunday, which
yep.
they won.
Nice closeout to close out the best record in team history.
So does she want to go to game one or two? Are you guys going to game one or two? I feel, again, with a record like that, she's got to go.
She's going a homecoming on Saturday, so right. she won't be there, but
that's
I will
tough.
Be there. And I mean, you think about Freddie going into this game.
I can't. Oh, I'm so excited.
Right? So Freddie led the league in wins,
mm-hmm.
and then he was top five in wins above replacement, in sixth in strikeouts, fifth in WHIP, and fourth in ERA. Like the guy, I mean,
he's a stud.
It's just unbelievable what he did across every pitching category. And so to have him going at home with a bullpen that is healthier than it's been in a little bit, right? I wouldn't call it healthy, but healthier than in a little bit. I mean, it's just so exciting. I mean, last year there was no Christian Yelich,
mm-hmm.
right? Coming down the stretch of the season.
Yeah.
You know, this year you could say the same about, I mean, you actually forget about some of the players like, oh, Shelby Miller. Like he was like a important reliever for this team at one point
yeah.
for like a few, like there's so many different guys who've come and gone, but so many guys have just stepped up and replaced them. I think, you know, the rosters don't need to be finalized till tomorrow morning.
Correct.
Which is really interesting that you don't know who's going to be on the team until tomorrow morning. So we find out then if Miz is on the roster, which it seems like he's going to be.
I would agree.
And I think that's another fascinating part, right? Because this guy could end up swinging like the series. And right now, he's the guy who Brewers fans probably have the least feel for what's going to happen if he comes into the game.
No idea. Because when he came in as a reliever, the first batter he faced, he pitched well, got weak contact, got unlucky with an infield single, and then obviously that got to him, lost command of the strike zone. I have no idea what his role on this team is going to be, but as we saw with the Padres reliever the other day against the Cubs, 103 plays in the playoffs.
Yeah,
when you throw that hard.
Well, and we saw Schlittler last night, right? As a rookie who's throwing 101 for the Yankees, just blow away a pretty weak Red Sox offense. Sorry, I know you like the Red
yeah,
Sox.
No
but
offense.
A few years ago, the Brewers came into the postseason, and it was one of these wild card situations, I know, but two different times, right? Once against the Dodgers, once against the Braves,
mm-hmm.
where you looked up and down that lineup for the Brewers, and you were like, where are the hits going to come from? Like, can't find the offense, right?
So this was going around Brewers Twitter earlier this week, just because, again, everything was off and happening. I got to find the, but here it is. The Brewers lineup for game two against the Dodgers from
yep.
2020.
Yep, that 2020 series, exactly.
Avisail Garcia batted leadoff. Yelich was second. How do you feel about Jed Gyurko batting third? Ryan Healy batting fourth?
What?
Orlando Arcia was fifth. Keston Hira was sixth. Tyrone Taylor was seventh. Luis Urias was eighth. And then Jacob Nottingham was catching and batting ninth.
Remember that as being one of the worst lineups I've ever thought. But that is incrementally worse than I could have, if I had put down as a joke what I would have thought
Jed
that lineup
Gyurko
would
go batting third. It's not good for
and
anybody.
And that's my point. Every single player in this Brewers lineup, we can remember big moments from this year against quality pitching where these guys have come through. And that's why I don't think this is going to be, I mean, the Cubs gave up less runs per game than they have in the last 100 years in the postseason. That's how much they shut down the Padres
mm-hmm.
in that last series. The Brewers know how to get runs across. They're not sitting back waiting for a Tatis or Machado or some big home run as the Padres did for a lot of the season. The Brewers are going to find a way to score runs because this team is so smart. Bryce Turang is going to get big hits. They are, you know, whoever is in the lineup, and we don't even know half the time, right?
Well, but that's the thing, Craig, because you mentioned like in that Brewers lineup, even 2 years ago, and I tell the story all the time, being at the game two against the Diamondbacks, it's late in the game, there's two outs, the Brewers are rallying, they get the bases loaded, and their cleanup hitter's coming up. The cleanup hitter was Mark Canha.
Yeah.
Okay, don't feel so great about that. But when you say you remember big moments for guys, it's not even just 1-9.
Right.
It's coming off the bench. You know big moments for Andrew Monasterio, for Jake Bowers, for Isaac Collins, Blake Perkins, whoever's in the lineup.
Every one of the guys.
It's deeper than Vaughn, right?
Like,
it's just deeper than the nine guys. It also extends to the bench. And that's exciting.
And so that's why this team does feel different. Everyone always keeps saying, God, it feels so different this year. And I think last year felt so good. And that's why I don't want to minimize what the 2024 Brewers did, because they led from start to finish, which is so hard to do. We found out this year in baseball, right? How many teams led start to finish? None.
No.
Every single team this year who was in first place by 5.5 games gave up that lead, including the Chicago Cubs this year, right? The Cubs led the Brewers by 5.5 games at one point. So let's respect what the 2024 Brewers did, but that doesn't mean that this 2025 team isn't deeper and hasn't shown an ability to do things that not only has no Brewers team ever done, but no team in Major League Baseball did this year.
I feel great. I cannot wait for tomorrow, 108 at the ballpark. Craig, thanks for jumping on.
Postseason baseball is the greatest.
Best. It is so much fun.
Yep, thanks,
appreciate you jumping in. Lane Grindle, one of the
By the way, did we give some love to the Saturn Lounge?
Yeah, and you're open.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, sure.
The guy,
they're part of your open.
Great to have a partner on board. You know, that's why I made sure to fly in from LA for the segment. Welcome to Saturn Lounge.
All right, go get some sleep. Lane Grindle joins us next.